Simpson, Homer Simpson, he's the greatest guy in history. From the town of Springfield, he's about to hit a chestnut tree.
Hello and welcome to Put It in H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how are you, man?
I am very well, Terry. Very well. And how are you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it, pal. How have you been?
Well, I just told you.
Oh, right. You're feeling a bit better? I know you were a little bit under the weather this week.
Yeah, I feel a little bit better. We had to postpone our casting by one evening.
Yes, but, indeed.
Yeah.
I tell you what, Terry.
Thankfully, I don't. Sorry, go on.
I was going to say, in the last few days, as I mentioned to you briefly, now that we are on SoundCloud, we can actually see a bit more information, a bit more analytics, if you will, as to, you know, the podcast and things like that. And some interesting stats I just wanted to bring up with you.
You're bad for the stats, aren't you?
I'm a stats man. You knew it was a stats man when we began this. I just thought it was interesting of how, where the listeners are coming from, because I won't go through all the stats with you, but I'll just list a few of the countries of where listeners are coming from. So we have Ireland in there in number one. Number two is the United States, Terry. Number three. Of course. Number three is the UK. Number four is Japan. And number five is France. We are international.
Oh, we've made it.
I think we should officially change the name to an international Die Hard Simpsons podcast. It's got a nice ring to it, don't you think? but we've also gotten some good feedback. A fan of the show, Niall, who is in Japan. I imagine some of those listens, probably all of those listens from Japan are coming from him. But he said, thanks for the hard work with all the episodes. So we appreciate that. Always nice to hear. We got a thing from fan of the show, Neil McNamara. Not to be confused with Niall McNamara. And they're not related, Terry, on Twitter.
Wait a minute. Okay.
just
go. Did we notice Neil McNamara?
I know. He said he has applied unofficially for our intern job. More on that to follow.
I never got the email.
I'm just vetting out the candidates before I bring you the top three, Terry.
Oh, okay.
have we had any feedback or any interactions on your end at all?
Well, when I was saying that I never got the email, I might not have got Neil's one, but I have got one email.
Hello. Love it.
From, you might know this person, Yusuf Hassan.
No way.
Yes.
Yusuf, brilliant. What does he say?
Let me read it out to you. Hello, lads. Big fan of the show. Thought I'd drop in an email. You're mentioning a lot of brilliant jokes you didn't notice as a kid, but are much funnier when you watch it back. So I have a question for you. Do you have a character who you didn't really appreciate when you were younger, but is much better now that you're older?
Ooh.
For me, it's Krusty. In particular, when he's stressed and yelling about something. I
totally agree.
I don't think I realised how funny his voice is. He's so miserable.
It's fun.
Run, you stupid horse. Run. No, don't look at me. Don't come over here. Oh, he's spinning the ball on his finger. Just take it! Take the ball! Oh, that game was fixed. They were using a freaking ladder, for God's sake. Also, follow-up question. Who do you think is England's greatest Prime Minister? Lord Palmerston or Pitt the Elder? Keep up the great work. Yusuf.
That's excellent. Excellent stuff.
Yeah.
I'm trying to...
So for the first question,
I tell you what, Krusty would be right up there for me. Although I think I did like him as a kid. I tell you who I actually like a bit more, Reverend Lovejoy.
All right, yeah.
And Reverend Lovejoy, definitely. I don't know why. Like, as a kid, he just never really registered. He was just in the background. But I find myself laughing at him a lot more. Yeah. But also Mr. Burns, in particular. Yes. He was always, like, okay as a kid. But he's really, like, been on fire this season.
I think when I hit my teens,
yeah,
or like early 20s, I realized that Burns is probably my favorite character on the show.
Oh yeah?
Like, yeah, well, he's up there. Yeah, anyway.
He's got,
like,
to be up there.
He's so good. But I was thinking about it when I read this, and it's probably Principal Skinner for me.
Oh yeah. He's,
you know, he was always somebody that was like, and we haven't seen loads of him this season.
Yeah.
But I keep coming back even to that Camp Krusty episode when it's like him and Willie at the end of the summer. And he's just standing there wearing a pair of sunglasses, like, "So Willie, what did you do this summer?" And I'm like, just that image of him there makes me laugh. And as we go on, there's so many good episodes. He jumped the shark with him.
Well, see, what I was going to say is, like, for whatever reason, when I think of Principal Skinner, I always think of the line, it's like, "I'm Principal Skinner." Skinner. They all laugh. It's like, well, that's it. I've lost them forever.
My favorite one is, one of my favorite ones is, "I'm sorry, did you just call me a liar?" "No, I said you're fired." That's much worse.
That's much worse. There's something about those, like, down on their luck characters that I just think it gets even funnier as you're an adult.
His relationship with his mother, like, that I never picked up on until I got older. Like, yeah. "I'm a grown man, but they have a right to be here."
He's just talking through the window, like.
Yeah, psycho, like.
Yeah. And I would have to say,
sorry, go on.
No, I was gonna say my answer to the second question was going to be obviously Lord Palmerston, but
yeah, I thought Palmerston as well, definitely. Lord Palmerston.
But that was actually a great email. That was actually some really good questions. Thank you, Yusuf.
Yes, thank you for the email. Keep them coming, folks.
Absolutely, that was fun. We will personally deliver $100. Terry will personally hand deliver $100 for every email we receive.
Might have to be in a form of a post-dated check.
That's as good as money, sir.
2065.
Those are IOUs. Anyway.
So shall we get on to our episode review of the week?
Do you know what episode it is today, Terry?
Which episode is it, Andy?
It's Marge versus the Monorail. Which is...
Monorail.
It has to be considered one of the all-time classic episodes.
I was very excited to get into this.
Yeah, so was I. When I seen... This was one of those episodes, like, there were so many that I seen... When I was looking down the list in season 4, I'm like, "Oh, this was season 4. Like, oh, this one was like, I would have assumed this was season like 5 or 6 or something like that."
This is a sweet stretch that I just looking at there, like, coming up. Like, so this is the start of a sweet stretch, I think.
Yeah, I've seen a few coming up where I'm like, "Ooh, I can't believe." Or even when, like, because the titles are actually a little bit like. Because there's so many episodes of The Simpsons, like, a lot of the titles, I think, "Oh, that's that episode," but I'm confusing it with the wrong one. And then when I actually go and look into it, I'm like, "Oh, brilliant, it's this one," you know?
So we only trivia to start us off, Andy.
You know I do, Terry. Let me tell you this, as I read from Wikipedia. Conan O'Brien conceived the idea when he saw a billboard in Los Angeles that just had the word monorail on it with no other details or explanation. I just think it's funny in general. And he pitched it to Al Jean at one of those story retreats that we were talking about before. But it was rejected.
Can I just stop there beforehand? I never realized before that like Al Jean and Mike Reiss, they are like responsible for so many of the best eras of The Simpsons.
Really?
Like, every time we're talking about them here, I'm like, God, yeah. And they're responsible for one of the best sitcoms ever to grace the Disney Channel. You know what? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, Andy.
Is it Home Improvement?
Please. It's a simple...
What is it?
A simple story about two best friends when one of them eats a gone-off burger.
Oh, not Teen Angel.
And he becomes Teen Angel.
I hate that show.
What a show.
You were such a fan of that
Fantastic.
Show.
Fantastic. It's great. So good.
I literally haven't thought of that show in 10 years.
I always think of it. It's so clever. It was such a clever show.
But, and they had a part in it, didn't they?
They created it. They ran it. They created the show. And then they were showrunners. I think they were taking a break from The Simpsons and doing funny. Like live action stuff. But yeah.
That's a seal of approval right there.
Yeah. Sorry, but they, no, back to...
Well, no, they thought it was a little bit too crazy. So they thought they should go with some other material. But James L. Brooks absolutely loved it. And also regarding the celebrity voices, George Takei was asked to guest star, as he had appeared, I think, in that show where Homer eats the fish and he has like whatever 24 hours to live. But after demanding several script changes, Takei declined, saying he did not want to make fun of public transportation, as he was a member of the board of directors of the Southern California Rapid Transit District.
What?
It's just now called the Los Angeles County Metropolitan Transit Authority. As a result, the staff went to Leonard Nimoy, who accepted. Isn't that crazy?
I think they made the much better choice.
Yeah, definitely. What, you didn't want to make fun of public transport? Like, come on.
Don't be stupid.
You gotta be stupid to do something like that. The episode got a Nielsen rating of 13.7, which was for the week of January 11th to 17th, 1993, almost exactly 25 years ago to the day.
Wow.
And it's been frequently selected, as you probably know, in a lot of, you know, lists of the show's best episodes and things like that. A lot of top threes, top fours, top fives, that sort of stuff. Leonard Nimoy was praised quite a lot, and he's ranked very highly in a lot of lists of like the top guest stars and things like that.
He is great.
With good cause. Yeah, he was great. And the line where Homer says, "I call the big one Bitey, and donuts, is there anything they can't do?" are among Matt Groening's favorite lines. But I feel like he says that about every episode.
I never really could figure it out when I was younger what he was saying when he said, "I called the big one Bitey."
Bitey, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't realize that he was saying Bitey. I thought he was saying like Piney or something like that, like when I was younger.
I was like, I don't get it. But what,
what's
what I thought,
the joke here?
What I thought Over was funny. It... You'll know when you're older. what I thought was interesting, though, is that this, according to Yardley Smith, who voiced Lisa, she said that the episode was truly one of our worst, and the entire cast all agree.
Really?
Which I thought, yeah, because apparently it was initially not very well received by a lot of fans of the show's earlier seasons because of its particularly sort of absurd...
Yeah.
Joke-based cartoon approach rather than like a more realistic sitcom style. But it seems to be like a small minority because, you know, it's ranked very highly among fans. But I guess I can sort of see that, like, why the purists, I guess, would have an issue with it.
They seem to think like the show hit its peak at season 3.
And what?
It's gone downhill ever since.
Who thinks that?
Listening to Harry Shearer.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's like, I think we should maybe do an episode on like the episodes from season 3 we haven't covered, because we could have started there. I think there's a lot of good ones, but
are there though? I mean,
yeah,
Season 3, I have a feeling, would be... Now, listen, I'm a Simpsons fan, as you know. But I would think season 3 might be...
There's some... Like, the one where Homer goes to get the giant catfish, General Sherman.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that was actually a great bit. Here's your crown, your majesty. We're at the couple's therapy.
She never cooks, she never cleans.
Yeah, that's good. Or we could just do some maybe bonus episodes like we did with the first one. Just do a few of the best ones.
You can pick.
We'll talk off. Anyway, we'll talk off, Mike.
Yeah. Anything else anymore?
But that's it as far as trivia. No, that's it. I think we're ready to roll.
Did you see the blackboard joke?
The blackboard joke. I did, but I didn't write it down. Was it something to do with like eating? I will not eat.
I will not eat things for money.
Yeah, you know, it's fine.
And then, what was your couch gag?
Couch gag.
Yeah.
They sat on the couch, and then a bunch of the other characters came in and sat in front of them.
Like Krusty, Skinner, all those people come in,
blocking their view. Yeah.
Yeah, we're on
the I kind of liked that one. I'm generally not a huge fan of the couch gags, if I'm being super
looking
critical.
Back on them,
but I think it was just the characters of choice that they used, I think, was good.
Like, looking back on them, they're much better than... I got a new TV. I've been watching a lot of Simpsons on Sky lately.
Yeah.
And the new couch gags are god-awful.
Are they?
The new opening sequence I don't like at all. One couch gag where... I think the five of them were in an Olympic side. It's like a starter of a pool. And, like, you know, the end of it is into the couch and get on the couch. And Marge, Lisa, Bart, and Maggie make it to the end. And then Homer is... They look, where's Homer? He's like, he's face down in the pool, drowned. That's the couch gag. Like.
That's the joke.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Hey, man. I couldn't tell.
Taking a dark twist.
Shall we get into the episode proper?
Let's do it, Terry.
Excuse me. So, it starts off with, and I was thinking about it, I was watching it, quite possibly my favorite start to a Simpsons episode. I forgot it was the same episode as the monorail. But, God, it's fantastic.
The Flintstones.
Yeah. And like,
I always remember... go on, sorry.
Just like, even like when he, you know, the way he slides out and like goes through his car window, first of all, like...
That's the best bit of the whole thing, is that he's just so casually, like he doesn't even break stride as he's going into his car, just smashes the window.
Like, I love, like, the music is... not quite the same, but like it's almost perfect of like the Simpsons the Flintstones tune, and like his little song, he's about to hit a chestnut tree, and then that's it.
It was always one of those,
it's,
you know what, actually but actually before I even continue, the crash into the tree was so horrific.
Yeah.
Like, I know it was like for the purposes of the joke, but the way the car crashes into the tree is like you'd be dead. Not in cartoon land.
Yes.
Terry, please.
You're boring me, Andy. You're
One thing I actually remember when I was a kid, because I remember from this episode, I used to always say to Tony, I would pride myself, this is before like digital TV and all that sort of stuff, where like the episode would come on and I would always say, within the first 20 seconds I'll be able to tell you what this episode is about. And I had a great success rate up until like season 11-12, before I sort of, you know, went a bit downhill. But for some reason this episode, because I remember as soon as it was the Flintstones one, I'm like, so there you go.
Really, really, I didn't, I, like, did, oh, this is in this episode? So, after that horrific, Lenny and Carl sealing up barrels of toxic waste, Carl thinks it's going to be buried in a man that chops with a crooked governor. Either way, they're sleeping tonight.
Yeah. It's complete disregard. Either way, I'm sleeping good tonight.
And then when the two of them leave, Burns and Smithers appear. I love the little, like, we're what, 2 minutes into the episode, you've had, okay, a reference to the Flintstones. You get a reference to Beverly Hills Cop here with the music.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even pick up on that. Can't believe it, of course.
There's a good few, like, that I'm like, okay, that's that.
Yeah. There's,
like, music cues or whatever. Smithers asks, should we dump this batch of nuclear waste at the playground?
All those bald children are arousing suspicion.
Yeah, fair enough.
And look, I just love the image of when they're filling the trees with just barrels of nuclear waste. It's like the last tree held 9 drums. And the whole, like, you can't get it across too much in, like, audio, but the whole way the tree was animated, where, like, it just becomes almost alive and the squirrel comes out and shoots laser beams to get the acorn. So good.
The guys show up from the Environmental Protection Agency. Sounds like somebody's having a game of hide the ooze.
I got a great chuckle out of that line.
Yeah. So then we cut over to courthouse, and Burns is fined $3 million, and she pays on the spot in cash. Reference number 3, Hannibal Lecter, Silence of the Lambs.
Oh yeah, Jesus, so they've already gotten three in within the first minute.
Homer is reading Andy Capp in the paper. You wife beating drunk.
Who was Andy Capp?
He's a comic strip thing. It was, yeah.
Oh, right.
But there was always the thing, him and his wife used to always argue, like.
Oh, was it like one of those, one of these days type things?
No, it was just like, yeah. I think he was supposed to be English. Like, you know, so it was one of those.
Oh, I get you. Yeah.
They beat their wives, right?
They sure did. They sure do.
And they sort of talk about how the Simpsons talk about how they'll spend the money. And Lisa wants it to go on public schools.
Of course.
Plug in
lame.
The, I really like this joke. Plug in the virtual reality helmet. And it's game down. He's like, you'll go where I go. Pillage who I pillage. Eat who I eat. Huh?
Defile what I defile. She's like, yay.
And then Bart thinks, no, he knows what the money should be spent on. And for some reason they're going to give all the money to him so he can make a giant army of robot ants.
Yeah.
Or an army of giant robot ants, even.
They just and also the whole image of them chopping Skinner in half. It's like, I remember even at the time being like, whoa.
No blood though. No blood.
No, yeah, that's true actually. There was no blood. So it's okay.
So then we're back over to the courthouse and, you know, they're gonna decide where the money's spent.
Hang on, Terry, I have to stop you there. Your sound is cutting out quite a lot.
Yeah, I might am too.
All right. Where were we?
So, yeah, they're at the courthouse. And they're thinking of where the money should be spent, or how the money should be spent. And Marge looks around and thinks that everybody in town must be here. We cut over to a nice little gag of Snake and the lads ransacking the village.
It's like, could this town be any dumber?
And then Quimby wants to hear suggestions for the disbursement of $2 million.
But what I like, even like before that, is like, please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. Like, get to the money. Like, in a moment.
I meant to say, I love Homer's green jacket.
Yeah,
I love what he wears.
I do actually love that jacket.
Yeah, I think it's great. Like, lime green jacket. He's rocking it.
You only ever see him wearing it like in that one episode, don't you?
I think there's another one.
Is there?
Yeah.
Can't think of it.
You know, it's one of those ones where it just pops up. It's like, it kind of reminds me of the one he wears to the rock concert as well, like that with the fringe on it, like Billy Beer.
But yeah, I love the way everyone is just so impatient. It's just like, get to the money. It's like, first let's review the minutes from our last meeting. Like, get to the money. You just keep going. And of course, the crooked mayor is trying to skim some off the top. It's like, as if they won't notice the $2 million.
So, Maud Flanders suggests they hire firemen to put out the blaze on the east side of town, which Homer quickly And then we get Mr. Snurub.
But actually, can I say before you get to Mr. Snurub, you know the way Homer was like, boring? Yeah. I think that's the exact same sound effect of him in the Marge Gets a Job and in the Triple Bypass episode. I think they're using that one clip of him saying boring over and over again.
Yeah, I would too. I think it's just
something
good.
I noticed. It's a good one.
Yeah. So Snurub thinks he should invest the money back into the power plant. Smithers likes the way Snurub thinks. The crowd gets a little bit angsty. And they decide to make their exit. Now, can you tell me what this reference was? This is an easy one.
Ooh, Batman?
Yes, Batman. But not only is it, he has the grappling hook, it's complete with the little musical cue as well, which I was like,
So is that a fourth reference already?
That's four,
That's crazy. Yeah. What I did like about that reference, though, was, when... Who was it that stands up? Was it Maud or was it someone else? I'd like to see this money spent on more police officers. Oh, it was a poo. Yeah, but
shot eight times.
Eight times this year. But the fact that as he stands up, he's like, "Pardon me," and then you just see in the background Burns and Smithers going through the roof.
Yeah.
I love that.
Wiggum calls a poo a crap, baby. Marge comes up with the idea to fix up Main Street. It's been destroyed by people, leaving their chains on their tires or carrying heavy equipment, to which we see Homer doing both. And also, I don't know if you noticed this, but you see his arm and his head through the car window.
Yeah.
But there's no shirt on his arm. There's no white panel. It's just a yellow arm.
Really?
Yeah,
I didn't spot that. Where he's like, "Look at that! Look at that pavement fly."
Yeah, is he driving topless, naked?
I wouldn't put it past him.
No.
with a piano chained to the top of his car, what's he up to,
Or she's talking about the potholes, how big they are. And we get a Raphael.
Brilliant.
R.I.P. Raphael, driving a popcorn truck that goes down the hole and explodes.
Just fills back up with popcorn.
Yeah.
Great gag.
We get a nice little one here as well about Grandpa voicing his opposition to it, but...
I love this guy.
He's like, we could fix up Main Street.
shut up.
And then we get an entrance.
Stop right there, Terry. You stop right where you stand. Because we have our first clip of the episode. So we will play it and come back to you after this.
You know, a town with money's a little like the mule with a spinning wheel. No one knows how he got it, and danged if he knows how to use it.
Mule.
The name's Lanley, Lyle Lanley. And I come before you good people tonight with an idea. Probably the greatest... Oh, it's not for you. It's more of a Shelbyville idea.
Now, wait just a minute. We're twice as smart as the people of Shelbyville. Just tell us your idea and we'll vote for it.
All right. I tell you what I'll do. I'll show you my idea. I give you the Springfield Monorail. I've sold monorails to Brockway, Ogdenville, and North Haverbrook, and by gum, it put them on the map. Well, sir, there's nothing on earth like a genuine, bona fide, electrified six-car monorail. What'd I say?
Monorail.
What's it called?
Monorail.
That's right, monorail.
I hear those things are awfully loud.
It glides as softly as a cloud.
Is there a chance the track could bend?
Not on your life, my Hindu friend.
What about us Brendan slobs?
You'll be given cushy jobs.
Were you sent here by the devil?
No, good sir, I'm on the level.
The ring came off my pudding can.
Take my penknife, my good man. I swear it's Springfield's only choice. Throw up your hands and raise your voice.
Monorail.
What's it called?
Monorail.
Once again.
Sorry, Mom, the mob has spoken.
Monorail! Monorail! Monorail!
Monorail!
Mono! Don't!
One thing that I will say about this excellent clip, and it is excellent. First of all, you've got the master of Phil Hartman.
Yes.
Who's just literally, as soon as I hear him, I'm already just like either smiling or laughing, because yeah. It's just something about that voice is just so funny. But and speaking of things that you appreciate more when you get older, that monorail song is actually brilliant as well.
So good. It's so good. The music itself is fantastic.
But you always hate the, well, I did anyway, the musical parts when I was a kid. I'm like, oh, I'll get to the jokes. But, like, it's just all together. The whole package is just great. You just appreciate it more, I think, the older you get.
Definitely. A couple of good lines in there. I like Quimby. Yeah. We're twice as smart as the people of Shelbyville. Just tell us your idea and we'll vote for it. I love, the map that he pulls out. To Ogdenville, Brockway, and North Haverbrook.
And by God, put them on the map. That is such a fun. That's one of those. It's such a simple gag, but it's so good. Like that's
go so far. Simpsons
at their best. Yeah, like it's such a simple joke, like just a map with those three names on it. But like, and they totally buy it. Like, and I noticed like a lot of reviewers and things like that who were sort of looking back at the episode, we're saying that like this really showed like how like the mob mentality of Springfield for the first time. Like they're all just gung-ho into this, you know, idea. Sort of makes sense.
Yeah, most definitely. So we jump over to the gang in the car, and I like how they're going over potholes as they're driving.
Yeah,
and each time they go over a pothole, Homer and Bart like monorail, nice little touch.
Yeah, that was great.
They kept the potholes in. Marge thinks they should have spent the money to fix Main Street. Homer counters, well, you should have written a song like that guy.
Yeah.
And we then jump over to Lisa's class, where Lyle Lanley, who. We never actually mentioned that was the name of the character.
Yeah, great name as well.
Oh, fantastic. The name's Lanley. Lyle
Lanley.
Where basically he's buttering up Miss Hoover and he's taking questions from the class about the monorail.
Hello, little girl. Wondering if your dolly can ride the monorail for free.
And normally I hate Lisa, but like I like the fact Well, normally I hate her when she's being a bit of a know-it-all, but like, yeah. I really like this, how she pointed out where it's like, why would a town so small with like a centralized traffic need the monorail?
Yeah, it's such a good question.
It's like, yes, why hasn't anybody else asked this question?
And he's just one of these just like charming, he's like, that's the most intelligent question I've ever been asked. I could give you an answer, but the only ones to understand it would be me and you.
And he completely wins her over. He's like, I love how it ends. One more question. You there, even the paste. We cut over to one of my favorite clips in all of Simpsons history.
Ooh.
Homer is watching TV, an advert for Truckosaurus, the movie, starring Marlon Brando as John Truckosaurus.
John Truckosaurus.
it's the Truckosaurus holding the Simpsons card, like, you crazy guy, out of the way, kiss you or eat you. And it's like, celebrity voice, maybe impersonated.
I didn't even pick up on that the first time. Even first of all, the celebrity voice impersonated, but the fact that it's like, it's Truckosaurus, John Truckosaurus.
I really do understand that this giant robot Truckosaurus is actually John Truckosaurus.
John Truckosaurus. Brilliant.
Yeah. And then the ad that follows it is. And it's so clever, like, the guy in the ad looks exactly
like Homer, yeah.
Without a beard, with curly hair, doing the exact same thing he is, like, it's just great.
He's like, are you stuck in a dead-end job, squandering the precious gift of life in front of the idiot box? It's like literally exactly what he's doing. Are you on your third beer of the evening?
I'd like as well the picture of the Lanley Institute.
Yeah. That'd be accurate. Actual Institute may not match photo.
So we go to the Lanley Institute. Well, Homer actually says, and I love this joke though.
I love this next
joke. You know, this is the first one, I think, so far that we've come across of Homer's childhood dreams.
Yeah, that turns out he's already done.
Yeah. That was a great little running gag.
Yeah, it was actually, now that I think of it.
But then he's like, you wanted to run on the pitch in a baseball game, and you did it last year. And it's like, idiot, Ruth game.
Springfield
forfeits Pennant.
And he's there, like, cross-eyed almost, like his trousers up in the air. It's such a funny headline. Oh, idiot ruins game. Springfield forfeit Pennant.
Just because, even it's funnier, I think, when you going forward, you know how terrible the team is, and that was like possibly their only chance.
Brilliant. Gonna win one this year? Gonna try.
So we're in the Lanley Institute of Monorail Conducting, and Lanley asks, before we begin, is anyone here an investigative reporter? No?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought the sound cut out again.
Nobody here is an investigative reporter?
Excuse me. Line. I am, and she is.
Would you mind leaving?
Should we take our hidden camera?
Yes, if you would.
Let's go, Phil.
That's a great gag as well, like just the camera video.
Giant whirring camera.
Yeah. We then sort of jump back, and it's Homer is studying the MCATs. Monorail Conductor's Aptitude Test. True or false, you can get mono from riding the monorail.
False. No, wait, maybe it's true.
No, you're right. It's false.
It's like, you're going to be a monorail conductor. These are the questions that they're asking.
Yeah. Then we get this joke. I used to think it was funnier when I was younger. I don't really think it's that funny anymore, where Homer is asking Bart, does he want to change his name to Homer Jr.? the kids can call you Hoju.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked it more as a kid, I guess.
Yeah. Maybe it's just the sound of that word, Hoju. Hoju.
Yeah, I don't know. Just didn't do it for me as an adult. But then there was like five new jokes that I get more as an adult that I didn't get as a kid. Yeah. So.
We then sort of, I don't know where we are, but Homer and Bart are on a hill. And Barney is, he's guiding a crane, to put the train on the track.
Yeah.
So he's like, let him on.
Keep it coming.
And then he's putting it, say, horizontal.
Yeah.
Like waving his hand horizontal. And then he turns around and sees Homer and Bart. Oh, hi, Homer. And starts waving his hand down. Which they drop the train on a house, hoping nobody's in the house. Oh, I hate that sound.
There's so many potential like scenes, like even in the last one where Homer rams Hans Moleman off the road, like where there could be very easily deaths in these like peripheral scenes that you just don't see.
Well, Hans Moleman most definitely died in that last episode.
He would have to. The car was up in flames. No, you've done it.
You're a dull boy.
The next scene, Terry, we have a clip of, would you believe? So why say it when we can play it?
According to this book, the monorail goes over 150 miles an hour. What if something goes wrong?
What if? What if I'm taking a shower and I slip on a bar of soap? Oh my God, I'd be killed!
It frightens me that you want to work on something that's so unsafe.
We monorail conductors are a crazy breed. Half in love with death, gobbling up danger like ordinary men eat peanuts. Am I turning you on?
No.
What if I undo this button?
Good night, Homer.
What if I talk like this? What if I sing to you? I gave my love a chicken, it had no bone. Chicken.
So then, mono means one, and rail means rail. And that concludes our intensive 3-week course.
Hey, wait, man! Who gets to be conductor?
Oh, right, that. Well, I've been monitoring your progress closely. But this gentleman here clearly stands out above the rest.
Who, me?
Yeah, sure.
Woohoo!
This was one of the clips I was hoping you'd have.
You know it.
Because I love the whole, what if? What if I stepped in the shower and slipped on a bar or something? Oh my God, I'd be killed!
Like, that was such a great line. I actually think of that one quite a lot.
Yeah.
And then go on. I know what you're going to say.
So, in conclusion, mono equals one. Rail equals rail. And that concludes our 3-week course.
3-week course.
Yeah.
And the fact that he even takes the time, you can't get it in the audio, where he's checking his notes after his exhaustive search. And it's just like him, like with like bags of cash going to Tahiti.
That's great. Like, that he's you know, done these pictures or whatever.
Yeah, and then out of sheer potluck, it's Homer.
Yeah. Well, the fact that like just because Homer says, "Who, me?" He's like, "Yeah, sure."
Yeah.
And then we sort of jump over to Homer in the cockpit of the monorail. With Marge and the family, he's showing off what it's like.
Showing off his snack holder.
Yeah, and then Marge looks in the fire extinguishing compartment and finds a family of possum. What is he called, the big one?
That's Bitey, Terry.
Oh, that's Bitey. Now I get it.
Which wasn't... That was a bit of a swing and a miss for me.
Didn't hold up.
No. Like Bitey, like they really could have done better with that, with the resources they had and the writers they had. But, you know, I'm being super critical here.
So then Marge goes to visit Lanley's office and she lets herself in and she opens the book and it's like, it has, again, another picture.
The most incriminating photo. Like, why does he keep drawing these pictures?
I like how it has like suckers. Like they're all on fire.
Yeah.
Like,
screaming out the window of the monorail. Yeah. Suckers. It's like me in like a briefcase full of cash.
Yeah. And then he appears out of nowhere and snatches it out of her hand. How much did you see?
He's like, oh, nothing incriminating.
Good.
Well, bye. Straight away.
I don't know why I keep living that around.
He's just so understanding. He's like,
he
turns sinister for a second. Like, how much did you say? And he's like, good.
So Marge drives to North Haverbrook, where the monorail is king, apparently.
There ain't no monorail, and there never was.
Yeah, why is she still at the monorail?
That's a very good point.
Like, why is she still there?
If it run down years ago, that's a great point. I never thought of that.
I only thought about it when I was watching it this time, because I did love when she pulls up and there's that old woman sitting on the rocking chair. It's like they use that trope quite a lot, but they use it very well.
Yeah, it can be used for so many different things, that gag.
And there she meets Sebastian Cobb.
He's corners everywhere. Bad wiring, faulty brakes. And the celebrity on the maiden voyage was Gallagher. It's like, that's all that's left of one of the crappiest trains ever built.
Marge asks, what can be done? He answers,
you better have a damn good conductor.
To which we see Homer locked out of the monorail.
Immediately. Yeah. I locked my keys. Like, get a rock.
So,
Terry,
we are at the grand opening.
This is where we have, you guessed it, another clip. We will play it and come back.
Ladies and gentlemen, nothing brings out the stars like the maiden voyage of a monorail. Everyone's here, from recently outed leading man Dash Calhoun to Krusty the Clown.
Hey, hey!
Krusty, why won't you answer my calls? You've never even seen our son.
Here's one of those lovable high schoolers from TV's Springfield Heights 90210. He's cool, he's sexy, he's 34 years old. Let's hear it for Kyle Darren. And here's country singing sensation Lurleen Lumpkin, fresh from her latest stay at the Betty Ford Clinic. What you been up to, Lurleen?
I spent last night in a ditch.
How about that, folks?
Now I'd like to turn things over to our Grand Marshal, Mr. Leonard Nimoy.
I'd say this vessel could do at least warp 5.
And let me say, may the Force be with you.
Do you even know who I am?
I think I do. Weren't you one of the little rascals?
As much as I liked a whole bunch in this scene, I was a big fan of how low Lurleen had gone.
Poor Lurleen.
Like, she was like such a like sweet character in like the early seasons, and it was like Homer was so nice to her, and even her voice is like, "I spent last night in a ditch." Like, how about that, folks?
They obviously couldn't get your one back to do the voice. Yeah. They just didn't bother. So they just replaced.
They just went full throttle
Lady
with
Doris. Yeah. It is Lunch Lady Doris.
It is, actually.
There was a lot of things in there. Again, like, the first, when I was a kid, it wouldn't have made any sense to me. Like, the whole Springfield Heights 90210.
Yeah.
He's like, he's, what was it? Like, he's a heartthrob. He's 34 years old.
The wrinkles.
Like, he smiles all the wrinkles. Like.
Plus, we have the first appearance of Leonard Nimoy. I love the bit where he's like, I'd say this vessel could do at least warp 5. And just the applause, like, they're so delighted, like,
smattering. Yeah. Like, and let me just say, may the Force be with you.
He tries to get in on it.
He's like, do you even know who I am? I think I do. Weren't you one of the little rascals?
I love the way he also pronounces rascals.
Rascals, yeah.
But in the scene after that, what I like is, again, like, Lyle Landley is keeping up this like charming pretense where Lisa's like, aren't you gonna ride the monorail? It's like, little lady, I'd love to, but I gotta catch a plane. The ride only takes a minute. You know, my plane leaves in less than 1 minute. It just speeds off.
Just gone, like. I forgot to ask, what do you think of Homer's uniform here?
Very futuristic.
Like, yeah.
He's like wearing a cape, is he?
A cape, like, yeah.
And like a mad, like, soldier. It's actually like a Star Wars, like.
I was going to say, he looks like some sort of super villain.
Yeah, like some. Yeah, I was thinking like a general in Star Wars, one of those main.
Yeah.
He does, actually. That too, yeah. Why would they go with that?
I don't know. But there's. I like the jokes here when Homer, as soon as he starts up the monorail, everything just starts, you know. Going tits up.
Yeah. Like from the first minute the gear comes off. Yeah.
And I like the name of these. It was a seldom break.
Yeah. Breaks immediately. Yeah. What I liked is as well, I don't know if it was just before or just after that, where like they start and Marge is like, we're too late. And your man's got a fresh haircut. He's like, I shouldn't have stopped for that haircut. Sorry.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
That's such a great line. Like, why would he ever want to do that? Like, why would she agree to that in the first place?
Did you notice just in the next scene when we're in the luxury car in the monorail, there was a painting of the Hindenburg?
I didn't notice that.
That's fantastic.
Nice.
That's gotta hurt.
Damn you, laser guy.
Leonard Nimoy is telling Star Trek anecdotes. I love that guy who's just completely uninterested. Like,
See, you see, the doors were not mechanical. We had a stagehand on either side. It would pull the door open when he saw you approach. He couldn't be less interested. And then, of course, Homer, being the negligent parent that he is, he's like, stick your head out the window, boy. He just puts his head out and just misses the telephone pole that would have decapitated him.
So the seldom brake hose finally snaps.
Yeah.
And the train accelerates out of control. The Springfield monorail sticker peels off, revealing a 1964 World's Fair sign.
Great gag.
Yeah, very good. And Homer's trying the brake lever, it won't work. Quimby arrives.
But actually, can I say before you go any further, I love the gag of like he tries to pull the lever and it's like an engaged tone or like one of those like, the lever you have pulled breaks. It's not in service. Please make a note of it.
And yeah, so then we get Wiggum and Quimby going at it.
Now, I'll stop you there, Terry. We have our final clip of the episode. So I will play this and we'll come back to you after this.
Making me dizzy. I'm going to take a nap.
All right, I'm in charge here.
Oh, run along, Quimby. I think they're dedicating a phone booth somewhere.
Watch it, you talking tub of donut batter.
Hey, I got pictures of you, Quimby.
You don't scare me. That could be anyone's ass. Now, beat it. I'm calling the shots.
I think that sash is cutting off the air to your brain. The town charter says in an emergency, I run the show.
Well, we'll just see about that. Let's go to town hall.
Fine. Should we take one car, or should I follow you? Hey, according to the charter, as chief constable, I'm supposed to get a pig every month and two comely lasses of virtue true.
Keep the pig. How many broads do I get?
Hey, let go. You're ripping it.
No, you are.
No, you are.
Let go. That's the charter.
Wait a minute. We can just shut off the power.
No such luck. It's solar powered.
Solar power. When will people learn?
The cosmic ballet goes on.
Does anyone want to switch seats?
One gag that always stands out in this is...
Can I guess?
Go on.
You don't scare me. That could be anyone's ass.
And also the fact that he's like, watch it, you talking tub of donut batter.
I got pictures of you, Quimby.
That could be anyone's ass.
He's like, according to the town charter... As constable, I get a pig every month, as well as two comely lasses of virtue, true? You know, how many broads do I get?
You're ripping it.
Yeah. I love how the monorail is just going by. Yeah.
It's gone ridiculously fast. It's literally taking about 4 seconds to get around the town.
And then we got the eclipse. That was a great little gag they threw in there. Like, it's like, yeah, why don't they just turn the power off?
Yeah.
Of course they use solar power. Like,
when will people learn?
And then we get a Nimoy, and well, you guys heard the clip.
Yeah.
So next part is Lyle Landley is on his non-stop flight to Tahiti. It's interrupted by a brief stop in North Haven. Why does that sound familiar?
Like, oh no!
I know the pitchforks. Like,
yeah,
there he is.
And the fact that like he's still in the air, it's like, there he is, C-3F.
Yeah, ridiculous, but also hilarious.
Hilarious.
So it cuts back to Homer and Bart, and Homer asks if we're going to die. They're both sort of staring blankly ahead, and Bart's like, yeah, but at least we're going to take a lot of innocent people.
Yeah.
Little shit.
I know.
And Marge calls Homer on the radio. She has somebody that wants to talk to him.
Batman?
Is it Batman? No, it's a scientist, Homer.
Batman's a scientist. It's not Batman.
He tells him to get an anchor of some sort. And I like this. It's a great little visual gag. He looks at Bart. Bart turns into an anchor. He's like, think harder, Homer.
It's like the first thing he looks at. Well, that too.
Bart can really like see where Dad's mind's going.
I actually like that. I like the fact that Bart knows him so well that he's immediately thinks he's thinking of me as an anchor right now, isn't he?
So Homer eventually rips off the M from the monorail and ties a rope around it and throws it out.
Ripping up the town.
Yeah, well, it was a nice little gag though, I thought, as well, where it's like Bart is just holding the other end of the rope, like Homer.
Ties it in the nick of time.
It chops down Springfield's tallest tree, destroying Jebediah's Springfield's birthday. Yeah. Cuts through Siamese twins. I do like the line from Hibbert. It is a long and costly procedure.
Also, actually, the second time in the episode that a human has been sliced in half and there has been no blood.
Yes.
And it's mad the difference that no blood makes, because it really does just, you know, keeps on going. Like, you don't think like, oh my god.
Yeah. Then it goes by ye old anchor shop. And our old pal, Captain McAllister. He's got a lot of businesses.
He does, actually. An anchor shop.
An anchor shop. a seafood restaurant. A pop music recording career.
True. In the Navy.
You call that an anchor? And then it eventually hooks onto a giant donut atop the donut shop. And brings the train to a stop. But it's not Lard Lad Donuts. So I'm wondering, is this like another rival?
Was it not Lard Lad?
It was not Lard Lad. It was just donuts. Generic donut shop.
Maybe it's one of those yet to be ironed out inconsistencies like the Simpsons address.
I would most definitely say that. Yeah.
And Homer's the hero.
Yeah, so they're all, you know, out on the emergency inflatable slides. To Nimoy, turns to Barney, he's like, my work here is done. What do you mean? You didn't do anything.
Didn't I? I love the final part where he's like, or Marge was like narrating. Which I thought was kind of interesting, because it was like Marge didn't like, where's this narration coming from? Like, you know what I mean? Who is she talking to?
Yeah.
And it's just like, and that was the only folly the people of Springfield ever embarked upon, except for the popsicle stick skyscraper and the 50-foot magnifying glass and that escalator to nowhere. Which is some great screens, yeah, because they're so, what? Like, they're so quiet. Thus concluding this week's episode.
I like as well that the giant, the 50-foot magnifying glass burns the popsicle skyscraper. Yeah. From the sun's rays.
Like, why would they ever think they were good ideas? Yeah. That mob mentality.
I thoroughly enjoyed that episode, I have to say.
Me too. Shall we get into ratings?
Ratings.
Boom. So let me ask you, Terry. What did you think of this episode?
I thought it was a fantastic episode. It's a classic and it still holds up. In terms of a rating for it.
Oh, yes.
I would give it 9.
Ooh. Hello.
9 haircuts that I shouldn't have stopped for out of 10. And what I like about it is that there's an A story, and then within that A story, there's other little splinter stories.
Yeah.
Oh. So the A story is the can't get the money, they're going to spend it on the monorail. They're being sort of, you know, ripped off by this grifter.
Yeah.
And then within that story, it's Homer becomes a monorail conductor. So he sort of wrapped himself up in that main story.
Yeah.
And then Marge finds out what's going on and she's trying to stop it. So you didn't really need, you know what we talked about with All You Can Eat Buffet and the babysitter.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Like, the story was strong enough and it had enough stuff going for it. Yeah. Just slightly.
It was a very big story.
Yeah. But it was great.
Like, yeah.
Really, really good. A lot of memorable stuff. I loved, like, they're throwing references at you left, right, and center. They're all really good ones, really memorable ones.
Yeah, and they work well. Like, and they're so seamless. I didn't even pick up on them. Like, when I was watching it again there, I mean, obviously I would have recognized it before, but like, even watching it, it was just, it just all fits so seamlessly into the plot and stuff like that. It was just like,
really tight episode.
Yeah, it was very tight.
Yeah. My MVP would be, I'm going to give it to Leonard Nimoy.
Ooh.
Really made the most of his career. I mean, I think, I know you're going to give it to,
you know who,
Phil Hartman.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, to keep it up, keep it a little bit different.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
I think Nimoy really does, like, not steal, but he makes the most of his, I'd say he has his lines or his speaking time is what?
He probably 40 has. Seconds? Yeah.
Yeah, at most.
But he's used just the right amount as well.
Like, I constantly use that. Anyone want to switch seats?
Was that the first reference of Didn't I? When they didn't actually do anything? Because that's a very used gag, just in general, everyday culture these days.
I think it's, well, it's the most memorable one from the Simpsons. It seems like the first one, but it mightn't be.
Yeah.
But, you know,
definitely the most memorable.
Like, there's other ones I remember where it's like, but he didn't do anything. He's like, didn't he, Lisa?
Well, I would agree largely. I would agree mostly with what you said. I did very much enjoy the episode, but I thought the story was great. Like, I was entertained from start to finish. I thought the story was great. I could have used a few more laughs for me.
Hmm.
and I'm being super critical. And it's not just that I'm, you know, going against the bad episode, or, you know, the memorable episode, should I say. But I just thought, I don't know, I felt like I'd like there was more big laughs in Homer's triple bypass last week. Maybe it's just because this episode is so, like, well known that, like, I've seen it more, and maybe, you know what I mean, like that sort of thing. But like, it was still excellent, but I just found myself a little bit at the end, I'm like, oh, I thought I was gonna, you know, really enjoy it. But I would probably give it an 8.3.
Oh, okay.
Mules with spinning wheels.
Wow, you're harsh, you're tough.
Tough crowd. No, but I mean, overall, I did really like it. But just for the, you know, if I could nitpick, that's really what it would be. But still, you know, compared to any other show, you know, night and day.
Oh, well, yeah, it is, like I'm saying, it's so far.
Yeah, it's got very high standards.
Yeah. Shall we get our plugs in before we go, Andy?
Please. Where can they find us, Terry?
You can find us at Facebook, Put It In H Podcast. You can drop us a message there if you want to like and follow the page, or tell your friends about this podcast if you're a fan of The Simpsons and you think Absolutely. Somebody else might like it. Get them to give us a whirl, give us a try out, shall we say. And I would just like to say as well, just because you mentioned them earlier, thanks to all our international listeners and our Irish listeners, but it's great Absolutely. To know that we're reaching so many people across the way. You can also email us at putitinhpod@gmail.com. Thoroughly enjoyed that one from Yusuf at the start.
Yeah, great email, so, Yusuf.
Yeah. So if you have any queries or even any complaints, I know a few of you out there might.
If you have complaints, send them to Terry Toner's personal email address, which I will give out at the end of the episode. you can also find us on Twitter at @PutItInHPod. @PutItInHPod. Would really appreciate if anyone is on Twitter, give us a follow and comment. I have to say, I didn't think that I would get this excited about getting feedback. You know what I mean? Like, people. I genuinely love if someone, like, asks like, a question, or, you know, a comment or anything like that, or just says cheers, or, you know, or anything like that. So,
Whenever I get a text off one of the lads or something like that, that's like a text off, like, Pilo saying, he's like, he was laughing very hard at me going crazy over where Flanders, why wasn't he in church when the
Homer the Heretic,
that was like really put a smile, really brightened up the day.
It does, yeah. So please, well, more of that. That,
guys. Yeah, most definitely. And yeah, you find us on any sort of your good podcast app or iTunes.
Don't forget, if you haven't already resubscribed, well, if you haven't resubscribed, you're probably not hearing this, but but you need to resubscribe to get all of our new episodes and updates and things like that on iTunes.
You can give us a rating and review. What do we want, Cantwell?
You know what you need to give people. 5 stars or nothing.
That's the ultimatum we've set.
Yeah. I'm sure I'm going to get that made into a t-shirt one day.
Yeah,
really. 5 stars or
five
nothing.
5 stars only. So looking towards next week, what have we got, Andy?
We've got Selma's Choice, which aired January 21st, 1993, which I'm actually very much looking forward to getting into this one. This is one of those ones that, like, doesn't stick out too much in the memory, like, as far as, like, when I'm thinking back on episodes, but I, just from the little synopsis and thing that I'm seeing here, I'm like, can't wait to talk about this one.
Take these, and some of these. Oh, I'm not a doctor.
Plus, it's got more Phil Hartman, which is always good.
Yeah. All right, well,
that'll do it.
That about wraps us up.
Thanks, as always, for listening, people. And thank you, Terry.
And thank you, Andy.
A pleasure as always.